Today is Mother's Day 2024, so this is the Mother's Day message. So we turn to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 12, it wasn't too long ago that we spoke about Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.'" It was not too long ago that we spoke about the Abrahamic covenant. And if you remember, it was a covenant that is ratified by God. This covenant was not dependent on man, but this covenant was dependent upon God. So all of a sudden, I had a young man come to my house the other day, and he says, "I don't understand this Jewish thing. Why do all these people hate the Jews?" And let me tell you, it's because of evil that is in the world today. It's because Satan wants to break that covenant. Satan wants to put that covenant down and defeat it, because if God's word is not true then is it true in other places in the Bible? But God is not going to allow the nation of Israel to be annihilated. That's why this covenant is still in effect today, as it was when he made it with Abraham. That's why America must stand with Israel now and forever, no backing away. When you look at verse 3 again of Genesis chapter 12, and what does it say? "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." Now, but that's not what this message is about today. It's not about the Abrahamic covenant. Verse 2, when you go back to verse 2, it says, "I will make you a great nation," speaking to Abraham. Abram at the time. At first glance, what does it make you think of? That he would have children, his children would have children, and a great nation would rise up out of that. Well, that's exactly what Abram and Sarai thought at the time. They thought the very same thing. And we know their names would be changed by God to Abraham and also to Sarah. So you're going to hear me say the word Sarah and Abraham throughout the rest of the message. Now think for a moment. In verse 3, Abraham, yes, would be the father of faith. Today we are spiritual descendants of Abraham. But verse 2, it's he himself with Sarah would have natural born children. Saints of God, let me tell you something. When God tells you something, either from his word or through prayer or through the power of his Holy Spirit, after he tells you that, you speak it, you profess it, and you claim it, until it comes to pass. That is so important in your Christian walk, because there's many times in your own life you will pray about something, you will seek God about something, and he will speak to your heart in that still and quiet voice, and all of a sudden you're put in the position of wait. I'm waiting for it to happen. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I proclaim that it's going to happen. For so many years, my wife and I had been praying for our son. Carol was believing that she would get her son back. She was believing through prayer that God would minister to his life. And I can take you back 4 years ago when we were still over in the lodge and we were praying for our son. And Jeanette said to me, "I believe someday you will get your son back." What did I say? I receive it. I believe it. And I'm going to proclaim it for the rest of my life until I see that come to pass. Last year, we went to Atlanta and seen our son. 2 weeks from now, our son is coming up to see us. He's going to spend the whole week with us. And one day, Carol was talking. She says, "You know what, Leo? I think we got our son back." Hallelujah! So when God speaks something to your heart, when he speaks something into your life, then you believe it, when you receive it, and you proclaim it. You don't go around, "Oh, you know, I don't think that's really going to happen." This becomes critical in this story that we're talking about today. The moment God bursts that truth in your heart of what He is going to do until the fulfillment of it, that period in between is called the waiting period. The waiting period is God's call for us to walk in faith. Now, Isaiah 40, verse 31, we won't turn there, but you know what it says, and it's on the overhead. But those who wait on the Lord, we sang that song, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does it mean to wait? A position of prayer, a position of believing, a position of not doubting, a position of trusting no matter what comes up, no matter what tries to fog your vision of the reality of the truth, you're not going to speak negative things into that situation. And that's what so many people do. Rather than speaking truth, this is what God said, this is what God is going to do, and I believe that it's going to happen. I trust the Lord it's going to happen. We start saying, well, I don't know if that's really going to happen. What you think in your heart is what you speak out of your mouth. Can God answer unbelief? And the answer is no, He cannot. So in a position of waiting, I'm trusting because I know I'm going to see that come to pass. Trusting that, yes, God's will come to pass. If God tells you something through His Word, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, now listen to me, you wait until He brings it into your hand. Because that's the kind of God we serve. That's exactly what God will do. He will bring it into your hand. Wait means you wait. Abraham and Sarah would not wait. And the nation of Israel, now listen to me, the nation of Israel is still suffering from the consequences today because Abraham and Sarah did not wait for the fulfillment of God's promise. And we're going to explain that. It's very easy to see. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 16 and verse 1. Now 16 verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Now how are you going to become a great nation if you don't have no children? How is that going to happen? He says, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. No children. How in the world can they become a great nation? I know, let's get ahead of God and let's do this. How many people in your lifetime have you ever seen get ahead of God? I can tell young people, God has got somebody for you. If you're a young man and you're a young woman and you're growing in your faith and God is enlarging the life of Jesus into you and He speaks to your heart, I'm preparing the life of somebody that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Do you run out and say, oh, there she is, let's move in together? And the answer is what? No. Because you're doing just exactly what Abraham and Sarah did when they got ahead of God. They got ahead of God, took it out of God's hands, said, we're going to control this, we're going to take place, we're going to take care of this, and all of a sudden, they are what? They're going to suffer the consequences from it. So no children. How in the world can we become a great nation? The name Hagar in Hebrew means flight, or it means forsaken. Now look at verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, and perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Wow, what a mess. So Hagar would, yes, have a male child. If you look at verse 11, Same chapter 16, verse 11, and it says, I get there myself. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. So Hagar would, yes, have a male child. His name was Ishmael, and every Arab nation today, the Muslim nations that are over there, can trace their roots back to where? To Ishmael. So let me ask you, is the nation of Israel still suffering the consequences of Abraham and Sarah's decision to get ahead of God? And the answer is yes, they are. So yes, Israel today is still suffering the consequences of taking God's promise. This was God's promise, and taking it into their own hand. The covenant relationship would be through Abraham and Sarah, not Abraham and Hagar. Look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. In verse 15 it says, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and also give you a son by her, and then I will bless her, and she'll be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. What's he going to say? We're not going to have kids, God. What are you thinking? You're only the creator of the universe. You don't have any idea what you're doing. And since you don't have any idea what you're doing, I'm going to have a child with this maidservant. His name is Ishmael. And your blessing, your covenant blessing, is going to go through the lineage of Ishmael. And God says, wake up. You're talking to the Holy One here, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. What I say, what I want, and what I will do is what I will do, because I am the great I am. Go on and read. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear your son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting in his covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and he will multiply. We will multiply him exceedingly, and he shall begat 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. And then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So what has God spoken into your heart? That you, as an individual today, are waiting and trusting and believing. You may be thinking, no way, I haven't seen it yet. Let me repeat verse 14. Is there anything that is too hard for God? So look at chapter 18 and verse 10. 18 and verse 10, it says, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is, no, it is not. At the appointed time, his time, in the fullness of time, when God says it will take place, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is there anything too hard for God? The answer is no. Now it's 11:25 and we haven't got to the Mother's Day message yet. Are you ready? The Mother's Day message today is about Hagar. She has conceived. Sarah is furious and deals harshly with her. So let's pick up the story back at Genesis 16 and verse 6. Go back to Genesis 16, verse 6. I mean, there's sermon after sermon after. You could preach for a year on this passage of Scripture. Genesis 16, verse 6. So Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." Because what? Because she treated her horribly. Look at verse 5. "Then Sarah said to Abram, 'My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid unto your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge between you and me.' So Abram said to Sarah, 'Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please.' And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she did what? She fled from her presence." Verse 7. "Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by a spring on the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?' She said, 'I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand.' Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for a multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Behold, you are with child. You shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren.'" Verse 13. "Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her." You are the God that sees. "For she said, 'Have I also have seen him who sees me?' Do you know that Hagar has the longest conversation with God of any woman in the Old Testament and almost every man? Hagar had to feel like the other woman in the marriage. That's how she had to feel. But she wasn't the other woman. She was only doing what she was forced to do. She had to feel abandoned. She had to feel shame. She had to feel embarrassment. And she runs off, or she was chased out. Do you realize that she is the only person who gives God a name? Up to this point, God himself, he names himself. But when you look at Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13, "Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees.'" The name is El Rohi, but I looked it up. I had to ask Siri, because you know how I say words. Crazy. And I asked Siri, I said, how do you pronounce E-L-R-O-I? And she says, look what I found for you. And I punched the button, and he said, "The proper pronunciation is Elroy." Is that right? I don't know. Moms, this is the Mother's Day message for you today. The God you serve is the God who sees. Some ladies here will remember when you used to have the old diaper pail. Remember the old diaper pail? We didn't have Pampers. We didn't have Huggies. We didn't have all these other things. We had a diaper pail, and we would take the dirty diaper, and we would put it in the pail. We would probably have bleach in there and some water in there. And I remember as a young father reaching over the stool and going like this to shake it all out. and then taking it and dumping it in the pail. Every one of those that you did for your children, God saw you do it. How many times do you think, you know what? I am not appreciated. My children, when they were little, they threw up and I had to clean it up. I remember my mom, because I couldn't do it, you know, because I was sick, I'd have flu, and my mom had a weak stomach, and all the time she was wiping it up, she'd go, ooh, ooh, ooh. Anybody ever been there? I kind of have a weak stomach today, I didn't used to. How many times have you thought, nobody understands, nobody appreciates, nobody sees what I have to go through on a daily basis, but now you know there is the God that sees. When he talks about laying up treasures in heaven, it's the things that you do that are unnoticed that only the person that sees you is God. When you look at Matthew chapter 6, a couple of last scriptures, and we'll close today, still early. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. In Matthew 6 and verse 6, Matthew 6 and verse 6, it says, "But when you pray, you go into your room, and when you have shut the door, you pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." How many things have you done in secret when nobody knew? The amazing thing about doing something for God is that God wants us to do it secretly so he can reward us openly. And there's many things that you and I, moms, that you have done over your whole entire life is nothing but laying up crowns in heaven because of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to your children, your faithfulness to your husband. I told Carol, I wrote her a card, which she already looked at, which she wasn't supposed to look at, today's Mother's Day. I've been carrying her book since we were in junior high or before in school because we have been going together for that long. And all the time in my life, wherever I go, I am packing something for my wife. And I said, I suppose I can see that because God has blessed you so much, because he's going to bless you because of all the secret things you did that nobody else knows, the sacrifices that you've made, I suppose all I'm going to do when I get to heaven is carry your crowns around for you. And of course, Grandma Carol is like, ka-ching, yes you are. Moms, we love you. You have blessed our lives, and we want to be a blessing to you because of your faithfulness. In today's world, we despise mothers. We only look at those that are working in the workplace, only those that are achieving. But let me tell you, I believe with all of my heart, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that feeds the nation. Will you stand with me today? We have a small gift for the mothers today, and you will get it as you are dismissed today. Father, we rejoice in this day, and what a beautiful day that you have given us to come out and worship the Lord. And Father, I would not have missed this day for anything. Lord, your presence has been so strong. Your fellowship has been so great, and we praise you forevermore. We pray for our mothers that, Lord, you would bless them, your hand would be upon their life, you would go before them, you would place a hedge of protection around their life. I pray that, Lord, you would open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon each and every one of them, and we ask it all today in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day.